Well, Lenzim, the weather is changing here up north. Got up this morning. It was a balmy 34 degrees, even though the sun was out. But there is good news for people who want to hit the golf ball. If the temperatures, which are going to peak out today around 47, 48 degrees, aren't warm enough for you, you can now go inside because the Mistwood Golf Dome has opened for the fall and winter season of 2021 and 2022. Yeah, the Mistwood Golf Dome, complete with McWethy's Sports Bar inside, home of the great barbecue and the chicken wings, now has golf open. And you can go over there and hit balls and play top tracer and all sorts of other good things. Get your fittings done. Get your lessons in. Go over there on Sundays and watch the NFL ticket so you can see all the games and win some amazing prizes. One lucky winner last Sunday won an autographed Coach Mike Ditka jersey. So all sorts of good things happening at the Mistwood Golf Dome, which is located on Route 53 in Bolingbrook. Phone number 630-739-7600, mistwoodgolfdome.com. Go on over and get your golf game in all winter long. Yeah, bring your clubs, bring your appetite. It's a great place to go. Lenny, you've been there. It is the premier golf dome in the Chicago area.
Yeah, it's really a good place. A lot you can't go wrong. It's a nice way to keep your golf enthusiasm up if you're not lucky enough to get down to Florida where I am. That's a pretty darn good way to enjoy your weekends or any time, really, to go over there and hit balls inside. Always was a lot of fun when I was a full-time Chicago resident to get out and do that. Things are getting better and better now with the addition of all these new things at the dome. So it's almost a separate world in itself now, not just a occasional opportunity. It can be a regular thing. So get over to Mistwood. That's exactly a great idea.
Some of the golf courses up here, it's this time of year, they use it to get some work done out on the golf course, and that's happening in several places. But one of our local architects up here, Mike Bentkuski from Lake in the Hills, has actually been working in your backyard. Tell us what he's doing at the Palm Eyre Country Club.
Yeah, Palm Eyre Country Club is a 36-hole private club in Sarasota, and I happen to be a member now for the last couple months. Mike was a very unusual thing, an Illinois architect, a guy who'd done basically worked in the Midwest. Landed the job to renovate a course that is one of the better ones in Florida, a Dick Wilson design that had been opened in late 1950s. Mike has completed his job here. I've seen it's fascinating to watch this course unfold over the last few months. Every morning we get up and see the work that's being done on at least some of the holes. They just announced this last week that it's going to open a little later than originally planned. The tentative opening date was going to be November 1st. Then it got pushed back a couple weeks, and now it's going to be December 1st, and that seems to be pretty hard and fast that it'll open then. So we're all excited about it. It looks really good. So you always want to play it. This club has another course that's been very busy, very much in operation, designed by Joe Lee, and called the Lakes Course. And it was very kind to me last Sunday. We played in a couple's shamble event and happened to win. So that's gotten my golf enthusiasm going sky high.
Well, Lenzim, sky high is the amount of some of the purses they're talking about now on the Asian Tour with a mixed-in series of events. The Saudi Golf Association sponsoring, in essence, I guess, a tour within a tour with Greg Nauman as the CEO. And you got to believe this is kind of ironic because Norman proposed a World Golf Tour mixed in with the PGA Tour in the 1990s, and then Commissioner Tim Finchem didn't go for it. And then years later created what we now know as the WGC events. And as a result, Norman seems to be, again, creating a tour within a tour with a series of tournaments with the Saudi Golf Association money behind it within the Asian Tour. It seems to have gotten the attention of several of the top golfers around the world, including regular PGA Tour players from America.
Well, I tell you, Greg Norman had a great idea, and he stuck with it. Unfortunately, he hasn't really gotten the full. He's been the brains behind these things, and I think this one's going to turn out fine as well. Although, you know, the tours are going to be reluctant to let their players go off and play in these events, but you know, the money's going to be so good. I think that there's going to be some meetings of the minds about it. I'm sure, and it's only going to make golf all the more global than it has been, and it's gotten increasingly that just in the last, I would say, 10, 15 years. I'm excited about the possibilities of that tour. I'm sure it's gonna have some growing pains, but I'll bet it happens. I'm sure it's going to happen, and the golf is just doing so well right now, and this is another way of another indication of that. So we'll be watching it closely and telling the readers all about it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what Norman does as the CEO/president, executive director, whatever title they're giving him here, where these events will all be played, what kind of purses there will be. It sounds like they're going to be very large, and perhaps the winner of the 10 tournament series could walk away with a lot of money. That there's possibilities to win even more money than what we see the current PGA Tour champion get, which I believe comes out to be, if you're the FedEx Cup champion, would have been this year, Patrick Cantlay got about $15 million, I believe, after holding on to win down in Atlanta at Eastlake.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that kind of and that scares me a little, but we all should be aware of it. When the purses keep getting astronomical, I mean, they're very high now, but and they're going to get a lot higher with this tour. It's going to inevitably dilute the talent in a lot of the tournaments that we see. It's which is too bad. I mean, we got to hope that the majors still remain the majors, and those are the ones everybody plays in. But you know, money talks, and these events are offering just so much money that if somebody plays well in them, are we going to see him skip the U.S. Open? Are they going to see him skip the British Open, the PGA, Masters? You know, you just don't know. But it's the way the money has just taken off. I can't imagine that not being a factor for a lot of players to not worry about playing in all the majors. We'll have to see what happens there.
Yeah, definitely. Win more, play less. Who knows? We'll have to see how that all shakes out. Len, you and I are thrilled this week to see that one of our local golfers, Patrick Flavin from Highwood, Illinois, who's been slowly starting to bring his game up to a higher level out in professional golf, really had pretty much a breakthrough week on the PGA Tour down in the Bahamas this week. And I know that you just caught up with Patrick. What can you tell us?
This is really a good story, Rory. Yes, Patrick, the Bermuda, Butterfield Bermuda Championship had a tough run. It's a pretty new stop on the PGA Tour. And in getting to Bermuda, because of COVID restrictions and protocol, it was really difficult for the PGA Tour players, a lot of them, to get there. They moved the usual Monday qualifier back still a week. And Patrick entered the Monday qualifier, finished third, was shot 5 under, finished third, and was one of the four qualifiers for the main event. A lot of players didn't show up, but they had a full, you know, they had a full field there. Everything that came together for Patrick in the tournament was his second stop in the PGA Tour. He had qualified at Phoenix a year ago and missed a cut, but this time he wasn't going to miss any cut. He had three rounds in the 60s. A 66 in the second round was his best. He was actually leading the tournament, tied for the lead after eight holes on Saturday. Now, things didn't quite pan out on Sunday, which was too bad. He shot a 72, tied for 17th, but picked up just a few dollars less than $100,000, $99,000, which, you know, that's a wonderful check for anybody, but especially a player who's a young player who's just trying to make it. I mean, the week before the Bermuda tournament, he failed to survive the second stage of qualifying for the Korn Ferry Tour. Now, he's got a lot of options to play in now. He's got status on the Canadian Tour. He's got status on the, not on the Korn Ferry Tour, but on the Latino America Tour. So he's going to play, but he's going to play a lot of golf, but he's not going to know almost where he's going to be week to week. But it was especially needed this tournament because, his dad volunteered to be his caddy. His dad was on a vacation trip, hurried back to Chicago, caught a flight to Bermuda. The fans in Bermuda liked the father-son connection there. Patrick felt he got a lot of support, felt in a very comfortable situation there. And it showed in the play. It was a really good story, good success for a local player. And, you know, Patrick's getting nothing but better. He back in 2017, he won the Illinois Open and the Illinois State Amateur in the same year. Only other player to do that was David Ogren. So we're gonna learn a lot more about Patrick Flavin, a good person and becoming a great player.
Well, Len, it seems like the buzz is starting regarding the PGA show, the PGA merchandise show in Orlando. And based on the return that the show got, that it sounds like at least 75% of the 42,000 plus audience that was there in early 2020 says they're coming back this year, and they're excited to come back this year. And of that remaining 25%, the other 25% haven't ruled it out. They're just still undecided at this point. Now, I've learned that a lot of the equipment companies are not coming, but it sounds like most of the other manufacturers are. And some of the equipment companies that are going to be there are going to have a little bit smaller scale booth. But they'll be there, and some of them, including Callaway, reportedly wants to come and promote all their products except their golf clubs. That's kind of interesting. Callaway apparel, Callaway golf shoes, Callaway balls, Callaway head covers and golf bags, but we may not see the latest line of clubs there, of Epics drivers and irons or Mavericks or whatever it is that they've put out over the last few years. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on the equipment side, but sounds like pretty much everything else might be almost back to normal.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be hard to imagine PGA merchandise show without a unveiling of a lot of new club lines. I mean, that was something that was always a feature of the all these previous shows for over 60 years. And it's kind of hard to fathom the show changing with that playing downplayed. That said, I think I was very pleasantly surprised to learn about how many people will be there. The show has been a fixture in golf, and the COVID kind of threw a really real monkey wrench into things, and it changed the dynamics of sales cycles for golf equipment, golf clubs. You know, there's a lot more to golf than just the clubs, obviously. Fashion, travel, other equipment other than clubs, that they all factor in. So it's going to be a much different show, but I think it's still going to be a very worthwhile and exciting one. I know I'll be there.
Well, I'm looking forward to being there too. And another place that is going to have an audience again this year. It was nice to see the Cog Hill is bringing back its annual Thanksgiving Day lunch or brunch, whatever you want to call it, at the clubhouse on Thanksgiving Day, the four-course meal or so. And a lot of people over the years have gone there for Thanksgiving. And of course, last year it didn't happen. I believe there might have been some carryouts, but no dining at the clubhouse. But that's back this year. Glad to see it. Len, did you ever go down to Cog Hill on Thanksgiving Day to enjoy Turkey Day there?
I never did, but I spent a lot of special time at Cog Hill for not just for golf, but for the dining and for the special events. I'm sure that the Turkey Day there is going to be has always been good, and I'm sure it'll be a great thing again. We're thinking of having our Thanksgiving at Palm Air this year, so at our golf club. So usually I like to cook on a grill, but I think this is a time to maybe let the golf course feed me for a change.
Wherever Thanksgiving, if somebody's cooking a big turkey, it probably means a good feast is there to be had. Cog Hill also now underway with its fall winter Top Tracer Golf League outside on the range. And I understand there's a lot of participation in that I forget, about 36 teams or so could play on any given week. And for the most part, that is exactly what's going on. If they're not full, they're almost full. So it was good to see that that new concept that they launched there this year is having success. Speaking of success, continuing to have success on the Champions Tour is Bernhard Langer. And Bernhard won one of the playoff events about 10 days ago on PGA Tour Champions, and did it with his new line of Tour Edge golf clubs. Of course, Tour Edge located here in Batavia, Illinois. And I was out to their facility just the other day to test out some of their drivers. We know that they have a new line of clubs coming out in February, an upgrade from what they released last July. The 721s will become the 722s. And there could be more exciting news from Tour Edge in 2022. It was also good to hear Bernhard Langer, the classy gentleman that he is, really reached out to the staff that built and designed and worked with him on his current line of Tour Edge clubs, thanking them with personal phone calls and text messages. Not something you get out of most tour players today.
Well, Bernhard is really a class act. He's going for his win in the second of the Charles Schwab Cup playoff events not far from me here in Boca Raton, Florida, at a great club. The links of Broken Sound, and it's this next week. I can get there. We're trying to work it out. We had planned to go there, and we still might. But, yeah, it's really basically now Bernhard and Jim Furyk for the Charles Schwab Cup. There's with two events to go, but Bernhard has always been, he's pretty much lived in Florida much of his life. He's from Germany, but he's lived around Florida and basically in the Boca area. So things look real good for him. He's the front runner playing on basically a home golf course in the second playoff event. And, I can't imagine him not going on to win now. He's got his game peaking at the right time.
Well, I believe Jim Furyk practically has to win the last two events to beat out Bernhard for the Schwab Cup. And as a result, you know, Jim Furyk's playing well, but I don't know if he has back-to-back wins in him at this point. You know, another win-win situation for golf club manufacturers. Len, there's some reports that yet again, the third time, in less than 18 months, a task force pretty much sponsored by the major golf equipment manufacturers in the world, working together with U.S. and Chinese law enforcement agents, went and raided multiple facilities that were making illegal knockoff clubs. And this is, again, the third time in about 18 months that they've conducted a bunch of raids, confiscated millions of dollars in false knockoff equipment. And, you know, when you see the hauls that the law enforcement people are bringing in and taking off the streets, you have to wonder about how big illegal club making is a business going on worldwide, especially in China.
Yeah, I tell you, this is a story. It's hard to follow, and it's to be really on top of it. But I don't know that it's going to be a story that goes away anytime soon. It's come and gone and come and gone a few times. Knockoff clubs are not a new thing. I mean, they've been tried before. Something the industry's got to really pay close attention to, though.
You know, something else that we've been paying attention to, you and I have noticed several facilities in the last couple of years starting up with par three courses or short courses. And news came out that I believe the work is done. It's just a matter of a grow-in period. And a course called the Tower T Par 3 is going to open in the St. Louis area. Our good friend Art Schaupeter, who did a lot of the work at Highlands of Elgin with Keith Foster, his former boss, also was very involved at Shepherd's Crook, and then recently got his first top 100 golf course on his own, TPC Colorado, a public facility for now through Golf Digest rankings. And of course, Art worked with our good friend Greg Martin as part of the team over at the award-winning Preserve at Oak Meadows. And, you know, kudos to Art. I know he's got several projects going on right now. But also, you know, a really neat part of this story, Len, is I believe this was a golf course that was sort of not doing real well. Some developers stepped in, bought it up for housing, and when that project really didn't get off the ground, a couple of guys that loved golf said, "Hey, you know what? Let's save the golf course." They bought the land back from the housing developers, which is something we don't normally hear about. And let our Schaupeter go to work, change the routing and the facility and the plan on the golf course. And they created this 12-hole par 3 course with a huge practice facility and a really big, monstrous putting green.
That sounds like a fascinating project. I tell you, this move to short courses, this is a very major change in trend in the in the golf world, and it isn't going to slow down. Here in Florida, for instance, there's plenty of golf courses, but there aren't enough short ones. We're going to see more and more come out here, and we've played a bunch of good ones, as you know, between the two of us over the last couple of years. This is a trend that's really helpful for golf because it's going to eliminate one of the problems that people criticize the sport for is that it takes too long to play. Well, it won't take too long to play a course that's 9 or 10 or 12 holes. And there's no reason that really to enjoy golf. It doesn't have to be 18 holes. That's tradition, but there's certainly shorter courses that are just as much fun and can be played in a lot shorter time period. It's something that we're going to be finding ourselves playing a lot of these shorter courses in the next few years because it's the new thing in the game.
Well, I believe that only two of the holes on this golf course are longer than 115 yards. So it'll be interesting to see. I'll look forward to seeing it when it opens. It's scheduled to open late April of 2022. So if you're down in St. Louis, you're down there on a golf trip, or you're down there watching the Cubs and the Cardinals by next April, or if the Hawks and the Blues still have a game, it might be worth going over to take your clubs and play the Tower T. There is apparently a few towers just off the golf property behind one of the tee boxes, and I believe that's where the name comes from. Len, you know, one of our favorite places when we talk about golf travel, the French Lick Resort, and there has been some golf promotions over there. Dave Harner talking about them on social media, the resort's director of golf, and sounds like there's a new head pro at the Pete Dye course, and for the first time ever, we have a female head pro now overrunning the Donald Ross course. So some switches on the golf staff at the French Lick Resort.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the one, the woman is Lori at Cetus, and she is not exactly an unknown quantity there. She's been playing in the, she played on the LPGA Tour, but she's played in virtually all of the Legends tournaments and the senior LPGA events that were held at French Lick, and that's really, she's the first woman pro they've ever had, head pro they've ever had there. She'll, of course, be in charge of, play a big role. I'll play a big role of it in charge of it. But the Symetra Tour's biggest event next year is going to be in French Lick. So good move. Good move by French Lick. They're doing a lot of good things over there, as they always have.
Well, I believe it's Rob Coons is moving over from the Donald Ross course to take the head professional job over at the Pete Dye Golf Course, and he's going to oversee some more of the merchandising and the other things that you can purchase in the pro shops at the French Lick Resort. Well, Len, with that, we're going to call it a week here. We want to remind everyone that the Mistwood Golf Dome is open for golf. Go online, mistwoodgolfdome.com, to book your slot, because the hitting bays sometimes fill up. And this way, you can guarantee that you have a spot to hit balls from when you arrive at the dome. And I know that the Sunday NFL tickets have been very popular. A lot of people over there watching NFL Sunday, whether it's the struggling Bears right now or the other teams that people are keeping track of, either because they have a wager or they're watching the players on their fantasy football team. But bring your clubs, bring your appetite. The Mistwood Golf Dome in Bolingbrook, Route 53, call 630-739-7600. Get on over there. And if you're still willing to play outside, the Mistwood Golf Course is still open yet for maybe about another 10-12 days before they close the outdoor golf for the year, but you can still get outside and play over at Mistwood Golf Club in Romeoville on Renwick Road. Len, we'll talk to you next week.
You betcha.